This is Colourful Radio.
I guess your acting name is Anthony Warren,
that's
right?
That's correct. It's Anthony Warren.
All right. So you tell us, where else have we seen you?
Okay, most recently I did a film with Morgan Freeman called The Contract, and another one with Wesley Snipes called The Marksman. Hopefully if you saw those two films, you would have seen me in that.
Do you know what? I'm so sorry. I haven't seen either of those films. And I call myself a friend.
Yeah.
You didn't even tell me when it was happening, so I'm so sorry I didn't see
it. I didn't tell you when the Clover commercial was coming on either.
Yeah, but
you
we saw couldn't that. Miss it. We couldn't miss it. It was there on a screen in between each movie I was watching or whatever foolishness I was watching.
Oh, also, maybe you would have seen this one. I was in Rolling with the Nines.
All right, okay.
Which was a British movie, which went down really well.
All right, okay.
I've done quite a lot of things. I've done the bill about 7 times.
Yeah.
What else might you have seen me? Oh, I'm not going back to that Clover commercial.
But, I mean, you have to admit, though.
Look, you know when you don't want your claim of fame to be the man from the Clover?
No, I do understand that, and it was a very, very long time ago.
Thank you.
But, you know, that had such an impact on me because that was the first time I'd actually seen my brethren from round the way on, you know, in a mainstream way. So you have to forgive me for that.
Okay, I can understand that. Yeah? But you will be seeing a lot more of me soon because I am involved with a few projects. Mm. Which Picky's looking at now.
Picky's the director, the
Picky's
producer.
Picky's the producer, yeah, that produced Rolling with the Nines.
And wrote Rolling with the Nines.
And wrote
right?
Rolling with the Nines. Yeah. He's going to be doing a lot more films, actually. Mm. I sort of dabble with the writing. He's been waiting for me to finish off this film as well that I'm working on.
Yeah.
See, something different from The Clover.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, The Clover's kind of stopped you from finishing it because I keep calling you back to do another one, isn't it?
No. What they actually do is they keep bringing it back because it seems to be a lot of, there seems to be good reaction to it.
That's right.
In other words, they made money.
Yeah.
So they brought me back again for another, well, they didn't bring me back. What they done is they brought back the old one and brought me in a new contract.
Well, that's good though, isn't it?
Yeah, the money was good as well.
So, you know, you're a serious actor is what you're trying to tell the world, right?
No, I'm not trying. I am.
But, okay. Gosh, can't you just tell he's my mate? Can't you just tell he's my mate? Right, so, okay. So right. You're telling the world that you're a serious actor.
Yeah.
And you want to do serious roles. What sort of roles do you actually want to, you know, what's the characters that you want to play?
I'd more than likely like to get away from the normal stereotypical characters of the drug dealers or... the villain or the criminal, just normal characters in different situations. Mm. I think that's what's missing from a lot of the black British films. Mm. They seem to be made in Europe more, in America more. But like I was saying to a colleague of mine while we were waiting, that, you know, you've got to give it time. First of all, I think... We've got to reflect what we know. And for some people, the films that have been made, they're reflecting on how they grew up and things they can relate to. There was a girl downstairs that couldn't really relate to those sort of films that showed the gangster, the drug dealer, or even the drug addict. And I was trying to say to her that in time, it's not just a matter of the producers... making these films, but it's also about society and those powers that be accepting that black people should be seen in roles that are seen as normal, i.e., for example, you're interviewing me. I mean, it'd be great to do a film just about someone who just happens to be a DJ and just happens to be black, but in a situation, that's where the creativity can come from.
I hear you. And so... you say that you're getting into writing.
Yeah.
All right. So what sort of storylines are you writing?
Ah, no, that would be telling. There's one I'm sort of working at the moment that is more about two young boys growing up through the 80s where one of them doesn't want to be involved with illegal activities anymore, while the other one believes he has these coins of phrase, he's in it to win it, and he doesn't really care. I nearly swore then.
Don't do that.
No, I'm not going to do that. But it reflects the friendship between two boys coming from two different cultures. One's black and one's white. And it shows... I've done a reverse thing where the black guy is the actual guy that's trying to stop him creating havoc and selling drugs. And the white guy is the actual guy that wants to maintain and carry on in this sort of lifestyle. When I say reverse, I'm saying reverse to how society portrays it in the media.
You know, as we're talking about, like, stereotypical characters, if you like.
Right.
I don't know if you saw EastEnders last week. Do you ever watch it? One of our mates was in it back from back in the day. Do you remember Gary McDonald?
Oh, yes, yes.
And
yes,
do you remember,
yes.
What was his name?
Darren.
Darren. And Darren, we laughed our socks off because he was so typically casted in the sense that they gave him a BMW with that's the furry right. dye, some
out of
fur
date,
on
out
the
of date at that.
It was the funniest thing, and he got ribbed by us
of
for
course,
ages.
Of course, because it's out of date.
It was really funny. But what I want to talk about is, like, at the moment, there's a storyline. You don't have to have seen it.
Right.
There's a storyline with... Yulandi's husband. What's his name again?
You're asking the wrong person.
Oh God, the corner shop, the mini
the
mart.
Corner shop,
mini mart. Actor. Oh man, everybody knows him as well. I can't remember. Anyway,
so we know him.
Yeah, we do. We do. We do. Black guy. Older. You must know.
Not Norman Beaton.
No. Come. He was in Love Thy Neighbour. Was he in Love Thy Neighbour?
No. Not Norman. Oh, how embarrassing. Oh, I've worked with him as well.
I'm going to have
Rudy.
To
Rudy.
Rudolph Walker.
Rudolph Walker.
That's right. I'm going to have to press you for
it. I had to help you, God. That one. I had to
Thank
help you.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You very much. But it slipped your mind as well, didn't
yeah,
it?
It did, because yeah. I don't watch EastEnders. I didn't actually think he was still in it.
Yes, he's still in it. But anyway, the storyline is that... he's talking about, he's recollecting his time of when he first came to this country.
Right.
And he and his mates went into a pub and the pub was like, they're not serving any blacks.
Right.
And he's telling the story of how he slipped a spliff in the pub owner's top pocket and then went round the corner and called the police. He was saying his friend did it or whatever.
Right.
And up until that part.
Right.
I was enjoying it because I was thinking to myself, no one of that. I don't think I've ever heard any of our elders tell a story like that. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
How realistic do you think that is?
Well, if you think back to when a lot of people came from the Caribbean, at the time, they congregated more in West London. In fact, Notting Hill was well known for many raves.
Yeah.
Which involved the Let's taking of. Illegal drugs,
yeah.
As you would call it, the spliff. It was well known. Now, the problem is that with the older people, they didn't want you to know exactly what they were doing because how could they tell you to stop doing something when they already know they've done it in the past? I'm not saying all,
yeah.
But that's the only excuse I can give for EastEnders actually putting that in there. In a way, it was good because it's not lying because...
you think that was possible?
Very much so.
Really?
You think very that, much
you
so.
You think that somebody would have been bright enough to put a spliff plant... Basically, he planted drugs on somebody.
Yeah. So
yeah?
Have we not heard of rumoured, I use the word rumoured stories of police doing that?
But that's different though, isn't it?
The fact that he planted a spliff on someone. Well, I don't see how that could be very difficult. I mean, I think he's got the if he's got the gumption to actually do it, and if it's a true story, I can quite see that actually happening. Of course.
When I first saw it, I was furious because I thought to myself, because I suppose looking at him, I'm looking at my parents,
right,
and the way they are,
right.
And you know, I would the way I saw it was, my goodness, if that ever got out, that
right.
His grandpa would have come from and beat him and
right.
Take him back to Jamaica or wherever it was he came from. So I couldn't even. I was thinking, that ain't right. So
maybe because our parents knew how to hide things a lot better than we do. Because of the way we think of society, I would say that our parents didn't want us to know exactly what we got up to, whereas many people now that have got young people share certain things that they do and don't mind walking around. They've got that spliff in their hand. It's seen as normal. It's become a thing they call normalization, where so many people do it that you don't take a second glance. But you've got to remember also, I believe that it was actually illegal
to have it.
To have it in that time. So that's probably why it was kept more secret. Whereas today, I mean, the ambiguity in the laws of smoking illegal drugs, I believe it's legal in your house, but not legal outside your house.
Right.
But that's actually a belief. It is completely illegal.
It is, yeah.
But because of the grade that it's at, police might sort of take a lighter view, but it is actually illegal in your house.
I'll give you a light. I am only joking, of course. Listen, Anthony, it's so good of you.
That guy's so deep in it.
You know, thank you so much for coming by.
I told you I was more than a clover. All right, that's all I'm gonna say. Now I don't want to hear nothing about that clover no more. No.
You mustn't say that, you know.
All right.
Don't say that, you know. Right. Because, you know, I think that was a good thing. It's a good thing because it makes you mainstream, right? And it paid you. You know what I mean? I think it's a good thing. And you had the face for it.
I don't want to say I've done over 10 commercials. I've done a lot bigger ones. And I've done a lot bigger ones, but I have done commercials in America, in Italy, and in Amsterdam. Just so happens that...
Well, it's the Amsterdam ones I'm worried about. But anyway, we won't go there. Anthony, thank you very
much
for coming in.
I'm going to talk to you when you get off of this place. You see?
You keep it colourful.
I shall.
This is Colourful Radio.